everybody, to Health, Wealth, and Divine. My name is Jawanza. Thank you so much for tuning in. You know what the drums mean, right? You know that it's time to get the show on the road. And got another special show lined up for you. They're all special, but if you've been following us, you know that we've been doing a show on the seven divisions of the spirit. That's right, the seven divisions of the spirit. We've been very, very blessed to have as our resident teacher for this series, Brother Orwa Hehi Metura in comment. We've been blessed to have him on to talk about the seven divisions of the spirit. If you've been following us for a while, you know that he's also talked about the Asante model. He's also talked about the 11 laws of God. We've done a show on his book, The African Names Unlocking African Names, Ancient Egyptian Keys to Unlock Your Power and Your Destiny, among other shows on the I Ching, God Knows Best. I mean, and the list goes on and on and on and on and on. And so if you're just new to Health, Wealth, and Divine, then I encourage you to go to the archives, because all of the shows are archived. And if you scroll down the archives, you'll find all the shows that we've done with Brother Orwa. And I guarantee you that you will grow as a result of taking the time out to listen to those shows. Well, again, as promised, tonight we're going to be talking about the seven divisions of the spirit. In case you're just tuning in for the very first time and you're not familiar with Brother Orwa, let me share a little bit about him. Well, Orwa Hehi Metura in comment has been a member of the Osara Set Society since 1975. He was appointed Urwa, which is Paramount King, by Shechem Shechem Ra'un Nefer Amen, who happens to be the chief priest and king of the Osara Set Society. And as Urwa, he's been responsible for guiding the lives of Osara Set members and the society's activities in Maryland, Virginia, and Washington, D.C. He's a member of the society's Carrie Hebb priesthood and headed Osara Set's African Support Project. He holds a bachelor's degree in African American Studies and a master's degree in education, both from Howard University. And he's recently been given the title of doctor as well. So it's a pleasure to have somebody on that has those type of credentials and is willing to come on and take time out of his busy schedule to share with us tools and information that can help us to grow into the divine men and women that we're destined to be. Brother Orwa, thank you so much again for agreeing to come on and be my guest today. It's always a pleasure to have you, sir.
Okay, thank you for having me on. Always good to be here.
Great to have you, my brother. Again, for all of the listeners who've been tuning in, I want to say thank you for taking time out of your time, your day, to spend the time with us. And to all of the people that share the links when you see them, you know who you are. I say du'a'u to you, thank you so much. And to all of those who are, you know, who see these links, you can help to spread the information by just clicking share, and you can share these links with the people that you know, and we can all grow together. Okay, so now, I just want to say from the outset, for those of you who are tuning in for the first time, or maybe even the second or third time, in the archives are all of the shows that we've done on the seven divisions of the spirit. If you missed any of them, you can go back and listen to them, starting with the very first one where Brother Orwa actually laid the foundation for the discussions that we've been having. And just so that you can get brought up to speed on where we are, again, you can go back and listen to the archives and you can listen to the overview. And so you have a foundation upon which to, you know, follow the discussion. So I encourage everybody to do that if you haven't done so already. Well, today's show, we're going to be discussing specifically the Shechem division of the spirit and the Ku division of the spirit. Again, last week we left off again talking about was that the Sahu man and the Ab man, and so we're continuing that discussion this week, talking about the Ku and the Shechem. Brother Orwa, the floor is yours, my brother. I sit at your feet as long as well as with everyone else, and I'm ready to get fed today. Thank you.
Okay, excellent. Well, just to put this show in context, last week we were discussing the Eb. Can you hear me okay?
Yes, can hear you fine.
Okay, good. Last week we were discussing the Eb part of the spirit, And as we evolve up the tree, so to speak, from seven toward one, we are acquiring different levels or a greater capacity for attainment toward realization of our divinity, which is the goal. The goal is to open up and unlock the keys to and be able to operate the vehicle that we call the first division of spirit, which is the part of the spirit through which we're able to experience the oneness that is the world or God, etc. So as we move up toward one, we're gradually evolving and growing and shedding the limitations that the lower parts of the spirit offer us. Now, again, just for a discussion, there's two parts to being. There's consciousness and then there's spirit. And we're saying the seven divisions of the spirit. So spirit is that part of being which has an energy basis, energy matter. And as such, since it has a material or an energy basis, it can be divided off and parcel off and organized into different forms, different shapes. So these different forms and shapes represent the different vehicles that we call minerals and plants and animals and humans, etc. So the form that we're dwelling in is the spirit, and consciousness, which is the other aspect of our being, is that part of being which is not divisible, meaning it's indivisible. So it remains the same regardless of what part of the spirit it shows up in. But what the different level of the spirit offers is a different level of experience to consciousness. So consciousness is what evolves through the different levels of spirit energy, reaching toward the highest, which will allow it to experience the fullness of its being. So, that being the case, the air part of the spirit, which we discussed last week, which is the transitional phase, if you will, a transitional area, a division, which enables us to move from the level of human interaction into divine experience. So let's repeat that. The air part of the spirit is this part of the spirit which enables us to, once we master it and learn how to use it fully, enables us to now evolve beyond the expressions of humanity into the expression of our divinity. So in the last test for this evolution, I think we discussed this last week, is the weighing of the heart, which is the test of the part of the evolutionary system of Kamet, through which the heart is measured against the weight of the feather. And the feather is symbolic of Ma'at, and Ma'at is the law, is the foundation of the law, it's the law itself. But the Ma'at principle of the law states that it's the realization that God needs me in order to come into the world. And fulfilling that need is the highest expression of love, meaning that all of us, everything that's created, is created to serve as a vehicle through which the supreme being, that consciousness we spoke of, which is indivisible, which is everywhere, which is omniscient, omnipotent, and omnipresent, is able to experience its glory. So, for that consciousness to experience its glory, they have to recognize ultimately that the reason I'm here is not to become a doctor or an Indian chief or a lawyer or an accountant or a radio host or whatever. That is what I do. That's not who I am. Who I am is a divine being that is in the process of growing, evolving to awaken my divinity so I can use it and express it to the fullness on earth. So the concept of on earth as it is in heaven is the ultimate goal of spiritual growth itself. But in order before the one, we're able to access that part of our spirit. We liken the divisions of the spirit to vehicles, each giving us a different level of experience. Before I have the ability to access the part, the divine part of the spirit, which is what the Shechem and the Ku and the Baal represent. Before I can access that part of the spirit, I first have to pass my art test, meaning that my heart has to be as the weightless, which means I do not allow my emotions, my feelings, my thoughts, my passions, my urges to move me in a decisive way. Sure, I'm going to experience these things. I'm going to experience emotional responses. Excuse me.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to experience passions. I mean, I'm walking down the street. I'm walking past a bakery. They're baking some bread. And there's nothing that smells better than some freshly baked bread. Right? So that's going to stir up that passion within me to go and eat some bread. So let's say I'm on a low-carb diet, and I know that the bread is going to adversely affect the homeostasis I'm trying to reach with my diet program. So I choose to do what's right. I choose to live according to the law. I choose to make the righteous decision. I choose to not let my heart be moved by the passion of that smell that I'm experiencing, and I continue on my way. At that point, once I can make all my decisions in life with that kind of clarity, response, that kind of sight, that insight, that true sight, that divine sight, then I become harmless, so to speak, in terms of, because it's the passion, emotions, etc., that bring harm into the world. It's the intellect that brings harm into the world. It's the false sense of pride, the so-called seven deadly sins, that bring harm into the world. Once I'm able to evolve beyond them, not that they're not going to try to influence me, but I have the free will that enables me to choose to do what I know is correct, to live truth in that situation. Once I do that in every situation that comes up in my life, now I can be given access to the divine part of the spirit, because I don't have to worry about, or God doesn't have to worry about, my true self, which is the divine part of my being, doesn't have to worry about the lower part of my being, the human part, destroying creation based on some emotional or passion or thought or whatever. And we've given that example a couple times where, you know, if the Shechem, which is the part of the spirit that we're talking about first, represents the omnipotent part of the spirit, meaning the part of the spirit through which I'm able to manifest any and all things that are in harmony with destiny, my destiny. So to have that kind of power, to be able to bring things into existence or to take things out of existence, is something that cannot be given to just anyone, because the regular, ordinary, it can't be given to any human, I should say. Because humans are influenced and directed and guided too often by their thoughts, their feelings, and their emotions. And if you give a human that kind of access to power, to go to remove something from existence, then everything would be gone within 30 seconds. Because every human dislikes something. So we're all going to cancel out something and end up canceling ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
So to be able to wield that kind of power, the power of the Shechem, one has to first pass Ma'at test, the weighing of the heart, which is a symbolic test, which is not done, as we said last week, at the end of one's life. It is done each and every time we are confronted with a challenging situation. Each and every time our heart is being influenced by a desire or a passion or an emotion or a thought, each and every time that we choose to live truth in that situation, I am passing that test. And when I pass that test flawlessly, when that becomes the way of my life, the modus operandi of my existence, then at the end of my life, I will be able to stand before the Supreme Being, a heart as weightless as a feather, and be granted access to the divine part of my spirit, the divine part which being the Shechem and the Kru. And at this point, go ahead.
Well, I was going to ask, and I just want everybody to know too that there's a slight delay with the, you know, between my speaking and Orwa speaking, and so if I jump in, I would never intentionally cut my brother off in the middle of a sentence. So just know that there's a delay, and so if we overlap or something, that's what's going on. It's not that either of us are being rude. Wanted to ask you. Concerning, is there a proposed timeline for this development or ascension up the divisional ladder, so to speak? Because we know that, for example, with the human brain, as you've mentioned, that I think it takes 28 years before it's fully developed. What about spiritually when it comes to these different divisions? Is there any such timeline that, okay, if... And I understand I'm taking into consideration that people come to Earth at different levels and, you know, there are different levels of maturity. But if, you know, or is there, for example, by the time a person reaches a particular age, should they be, and I don't want to use the word should they be, but just for lack of a better term, at a particular level spiritually, and I, again, understand that that will be dependent upon the work that they put into their spiritual growth.
Well, it's not just dependent on the work they put in. It's also dependent on the society in which they are born. Because, again, there's been a debate going on in academia for years. Is it nature or is it nurture? And the answer is both. That nature provides the foundational environment through which everything is nourished. But to pull out the talents within an individual, there has to be nurture taking place. Meaning we all come to Earth with the same potential. We all come within, but each of us are able to access or pull out or manifest different of those potential based on the kind of nurturing that we get. I mean, the greatest mathematician, I don't know who that might be, maybe Imhotep, I guess. I'm really choosing for the sake of discussion.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't come to Earth the first time able to do all the mathematics that he was able to do. So there was had to be a teacher. Now, ultimately, the first person who was able to bring forth something didn't have a teacher.
Right.
Who was their teacher? Their teacher was the world or nature or the God itself.
Mm-hmm.
So, but after that, after they established the protocols, for the majority of people, few people can come into the world and access that divine intelligence, that Kru that we're talking about, to bring out that genius and make the initial discovery or the initial expression of something.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So, but everyone else has to be come into an environment where they're nurtured, where that is nurtured out of them, or in them, so they can manifest that. So, in an ideal scenario where the society was, everyone in the society lived according to the 11 laws, everyone in the society. Decisions and thoughts and practices and goals and aspirations were guided by the 11 laws. And all of the 11 laws means that everyone is being properly nourished physically, they're eating properly, they're getting proper chi exercises, jira exercises, generating their energy necessary to accomplish, they're avoiding and not being polluted by toxic stuff in the environment. whether it be industrial toxins or social toxins, all that's in check, so that the fullness of the person's capabilities are able to be nurtured and developed in an ideal environment where each of these laws is being lived and promoted and societally supported, then we could put a septenary evolutionary scale on this development through the decision of the spirit. So,
okay.
You mentioned like 28. You know, by 28, up until 28, the person is under the Sahu division of the spirit. Sahu does not mean evil. Sahu just means young.
Okay.
Right. It's the lunar vibration. It's the moon. It's like Ogotimile, the Dogon sage told Marcel Duhal, who was there in Mali, studying the Dogon, when he asked Ogotimile, what do you think about the white man? He said, he's a child of the moon. He's a young spirit.
Mm-hmm.
So we don't worry about it as a child. The Yoruba saying the child does not inherit a clean behind. So if the child is acting up, then it's not the child's fault. It's because the parents aren't there to guide the child, or the child is rebellious or whatever the situation may be. So in an ideal scenario, person, as they get 28, but automatically because the society is nurturing this out of their spirit, they automatically begin the developmental process for the imp. So between 28 and 35, they could ideally be cultivating the air part of the spirit, where they're beginning to look at things not from the externals, but from the qualities and the principles that undergird their experience, undergird their existence. And we've had that discussion about the air, which is incidentally why when they were putting together this, you know, there's so much of the American, so-called American Constitution can idealism, which is influenced by ancient canon, right? And there's all kinds of information about the dollar bill, you see the pyramid, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Because a number of the founders of America were all Masons, and a part of the Masonic study is ancient Kemet, the spiritual concept of ancient Kemet. So in ancient Kemet, because of this understanding that one doesn't cultivate the sun, the solar part of their being, right, which is what 28 to 35 represents. Up to 28, the moon governs a person's existence. From 28 to 49, they're under the solar orb. Right, so because the person didn't begin to cultivate the solar part of their being, it doesn't become established at this thing until after 35. Hence, to become president of the United States, you have to be at least 35 years of age, or 36, whatever it is. So you find all these kinds of things embedded in the development of the system. But what was left out of the Constitution is the fact that the society has to live according to the 11 laws, so that by the time the person becomes 35 years of age, they had awakened the solar part of their being, so they can see now clearly how to guide the people, because the sun is what gives us sight. If you don't have light, you can't see. So the sun is symbolic of our ability to see. And once you can see something, then you know how to address it. If you can't see, you're working in darkness, you're groping around in darkness, you're relying on your feelings and your thoughts and your passions and your desires to move you around, which is what happens in this society. So, you know, I think I might have given a classic example a few discussions back about President Bush 1.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and his dislike for broccoli. Now, this man was like 70-some years old when he made this statement. what it is.
Right.
And so if he wasn't raised to appreciate, maybe if he didn't like broccoli, that's the animal feeling within him. But the solar part of his being, the sahu, is controlled by its light. Once you begin to cultivate the air, the part of the spirit which should be cultivated before one becomes the lead, as a president would be a leader, then you are able to understand the value, the principle of the thing that you're discussing. And so he didn't understand the principle value of broccoli, which is a very good cruciferous vegetable, which is very good as an anti-cancer a food.
Right.
Right. So he got cancer running rampant, and the man won't eat his lot because he don't like it. It's a child. Children don't eat things because they don't like them. You know, but, you know, as a child, your mother gave you that bitter stuff, that molasses or whatever it was, because you didn't know no better and you were sick. So if you got, and once you become an adult, once you understand the value of what you've been taught, you take the medicine, not because it's bitter or sweet, but because you know it has value to you. So, but all of that's a part of the evolution from the Ev toward the Shechem, moving from the human influences of the spirit into the divine parts of the spirit. And that's where and what we have to get to. And that's, but to get there, we have to go through this nurturing environment. So the answer, I know it's a long answer to your question. The answer to your question is a yes and no. There is a timetable that could be applied in an ideal scenario, but ideal scenarios don't exist, so we have to grow as we grow. We have to learn as we learn. So many people, I don't know how many people listen to your show or listen to or have access to this information, but I dare say in the Western world it's a small, very small percentage, which means that the majority of people have no concept that there's anything wrong with just eating because you like something. I mean, that's how people eat. So these people are going to live and die, and without awakening or cultivating the air part of the spirit, without cultivating that part of the spirit, there's no way that that they can evolve into the divine part. They have to come back to earth, learn these lessons as they grow and move forward. So it takes many lifetimes for the majority of people to evolve through this this stage of development.
You know what's interesting to me, Brother Orwa? You have a group of people out here, I'm speaking specifically now of the Osiriset Society, have actually made becoming the divine person that we are all destined to become a focal point, the main point of what it is that they do. You know, I mean, just through all of the different tools that are made available, the books that are written by Shechem Meshechem, you know, your book, The Book of African Names, and, you know, the different classes that are taught on Qigong, you know, meditation, yoga, all of the different shows like this that you're doing, you know, the different parts of the spirit, the 11 laws of God, and, you know, just all of these different tools that are being utilized to consciously become Osir in this life. You know, I just think that it's an awesome thing that people have actually decided that I am going to consciously work on my divinity. I know that if I don't get it this time, I'll be back, you know, but I don't want to come back. I want to get it, or at least get as much of it as I can in this lifetime. Would that show, would that in and of itself show or be a marker by which a person's spirituality can be gauged to at least show the individual, the person, that, yes, they are making progress, just the conscious awareness, the conscious working on themselves their persons to become divine, just that the effort, would that in and of itself show that a person is at least transcending beyond the Sahu division of the spirit?
Well, not just the study, it's the application, meaning I have this knowledge, apply it. Each and every time I'm confronted with an opportunity by it, then I just have the information. So it's about the application of the, it's about living. You know, there's an axiom which says, to know truth, you must live.
Mm-hmm.
So I have information. I'm giving information now. But me personally, if the next time I'm challenged to follow my feeling or my emotion in a situation, and I do that, I follow that emotion and that feeling, then I have not, I haven't been able to say that I've overcame sin in that situation. It's only when it's a daily opportunity for us to awaken our divinity. That's what life is here for. Life gives us the opportunity to become divine beings. But we have to seize that opportunity. We have to, each and every time we're confronted with the opportunity, we have to move forward and make that decision. Sometimes I'm going to make it, sometimes I'm not. But the more I make it, the more I cement my foundation, the more I build my temple, so to speak, the closer I'm getting toward the awakening and becoming the divine being that I know that I am inherently.
You know, again, this information is just so very, very powerful, and I encourage everybody to do just as Orwa said, and that is to view these as opportunities. You know, these are divine opportunities to grow into your divinity. Brother Orwa, if you don't mind, could you talk for a moment about, and I don't want to take the conversation somewhere else, but faculties versus, versus might not even be the best word, but these versus deities, because we know that the divisions of the spirit are composed of different faculties, and some people actually term these faculties deities. And when we talk about divine models and having that divine image and transforming the human self-identity into, or the human identity to the divine identity, we need a divine model. Sometimes people view the faculties as, in, you know, have termed them deities. Would you please clarify that? And in some instances, are these terms interchangeable on occasion?
They are interchangeable in that what we call the faculties or the talents or the cherubim, the aspects, these are the systems within the divine body. So let's back it up and look at it this way. We say there's two aspects of being. There's only one consciousness, which is God, which is dwells in all things. Now, the other aspect of being is spirit, which we're discussing. And spirit can be broken off and factored off into different levels, different forms, different shapes, different sizes, different functions, etc. So spirit makes up the body. Consciousness makes up the self. The identity. So, within the human body, if we use that as an analogy, we have the divine, the world, what we call the world, the universe, is the body of God. And consciousness, God's consciousness, is the identity that is learning and working through its body, the world, or the universe.
Mm-hmm.
So if we use the analogy of the human body, now each of us has a body, and we have within this body we have different faculties, we have different functions, we have different systems, etc. And each of these systems is broken off and has its own role to play in the overall working of the body itself. and the systems have subparts, et cetera. So we have major systems, and then we have minor systems or minor aspects to systems. So we have the circulatory system, and the circulatory system is composed of the heart, the blood vessels, the arteries, the veins, et cetera. So then we have the nervous system, the autonomous, and the other nervous system, both of which have their own role to play. Now, these are major faculties, major functions, major systems within the body. So if we look at the God's body, the spirit, which has seven functional parts, each of those different parts would represent the analogy to a system within the human body. So the Baal would represent a particular system within the divine body. The Sahu would represent a particular system within the divine body. Each of these, Ku, the Shechem, each of them represents a system within the divine body. Now,
okay,
in terms of discussion, since they all manifest themselves, what we call nature, our ancestors in Kemet referred to as Neter. Neter was a term for the supreme being. Neteru was the pluralization of Neter, or the different expressions of Neter, so to speak. And so Neteru became what the Latin, the Romans translate as nature or natural. So from Neter we get nature. So these aspects of nature, or these Neteru, are what is also referred to in other systems as angels or deities or, you know, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
They all represent functions, natural functions of the divine being. Major system, it's so offset, would correspond to the waters of the earth, like the oceans, etc.
Mm-hmm.
So that's an aspect of nature, the ocean, but it's also a divine expression of God. You know, like in insurance policies, they cover you against, they don't cover you against acts of God, which are acts of God, flood, you know, hurricanes, those kind of things. Those are natural expressions, but those expressions are also vehicle signatures for the Neteru. So when there's a lot of flooding taking place, if it's oceans flooding, hurricanes, et cetera, then we're looking for set kinds of significators. If it's river flooding, lake flooding, et cetera, caused by rain, we're looking for Heteru kinds of signature. So we're seeing that the wildfire, that's a force of nature. Lightning strikes the earth is receptive to flame, it boils up, you have a natural fire. That's an expression of nature, that or Herukahuti within the Kemetic system. So these faculties of these spirits, of these divinities, of these deities, are all expressions of aspects of the divine body. And so a divine body, each function, each system has its own system or its own responsibility within the overall function of the body. So the offset energy is responsible for oceans, that kind of thing. So Herukuti is responsible for fire, those kinds of things. So that's how we have to look at that as a discussionary way. So it's a faculty, it's a function, it's an aspect of nature, it's a deity, it's a part of our divine being. It's a major system responsible for each system has its overall role to play and the overall function as a whole. So what makes the whole work is that each part is doing its part.
Okay.
The Neteru is doing its part. Each aspect of nature is doing its part.
Mm-hmm. Everybody, my special guest is Orwahehi Metura in Comet. He's paramount king of the Washington, D.C. region of the Osara Set Society. We're very blessed to have him on as our guest. If you're listening online and you'd like to jump in the conversation, all you have to do is just dial in at 347 324 5727. If you're listening by phone, all you have to do is just press 1, and I can bring you on board. Brother Orwat, if you could you talk about, as a person is ascending and we're growing and these different divine aspects, these divisions opening up to us, or as we're ascending into them, at some point, once you start reaching the higher divisions, it's my understanding that there's a trade-off that's going to be made as the person moves from the Ab into the Shechem and the Ku divisions, that the earthly pleasures and the things of the earth that may have once held so much importance, so much sway, so much influence in a person's life, actually fall away as that person becomes more attuned to, or if that's the phrase, to the higher aspects of in the divisions of the spirit. Could you talk about that trade-off as a person grows into their divinity, that higher first triad, for lack of a better term, of these divisions, and how once that ascension has taken place, that the earthly, those things of the earth just fall away?
Well, I wouldn't say they fall away. What I would say would be there's a change in understanding and role and function and importance of things. Meaning, let's say, for example, in today's world, you have to have money to live, right? Now, there are people who have a lot of money, but they have very little spiritual awareness. They're very much wrapped up in the human and the animal influences of their being, meaning that they use their money based on how they feel, how their emotions, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. They look at it from their own personal perspective. Because, again, once you evolve to the higher parts of the spirit, you realize that there is but one self. And once you realize at the Ma'at level that God needs me to come into the world, meaning that me and God are one, we're partners, then you then lose that the so-called selfish perspective of life, of I'm making money, I'm hoarding money, I'm using money, and then I may give you a token, you know, throw you some coins on the street, but it's not truly a sacrifice because I'm giving it in a surplus. So, but a person who has awakened the cool part of the spirit, which we haven't really talked about, we'll weave this into the conversation, the omniscient part of the spirit, the all-knowing part of the spirit, sure, they're able to know any and all things in any given situation, but they also have to eat, which means they got to have money.
Right.
So money is not the problem. You know, that's like the sun being looked upon as the problem because the sun fuels dandelions to grow in your garden and on your lawn.
Right, right.
For all these
right.
reasons. And you're not understanding that you're not looking at the dandelion from the airport perspective. You're looking at it from the sahu perspective. Oh, it's just in this messing up my beautiful green grass. As opposed to understanding the airman says, oh, dandelion, good. I'm going to be able to clean my liver out so I can be able to detox all these systems and poisons in my environment. That's the understanding from the airman. I want some dandelion. The sahu man says, oh, it does, look how it messes up the picture of my lawn.
Right.
Well, once the cool part of the spirit is awakened, once I'm able to know truth in any and all given situation, I then understand that money is a tool. It's not a goal. See, and most people, so Sahu Man and Ebb Man, until you begin to evolve to the higher parts of the Ebb, begin to seem at the Ebb, Sahu Man is a goal. People want money. I need money. Money, money, money. The thing about the forge, right about, everybody's chasing it. People out here killing for it. Everybody wants money.
Mm-hmm.
Believing that money is a goal in itself. No. The man of wisdom, once you begin to cultivate the higher vibration spirit, you realize that money is a tool. Yeah, I need money. I gotta pay my electric bill like everybody else. I gotta pay my gas bill. I gotta have food to eat. I gotta pay my mortgage. I gotta pay transportation. I need money. But money is a tool, something I need, something I use to support me in the development of the evolution of my spirit. As opposed to the lower parts of the spirit, we see money as the end all be all, and that's what I'm trying to get. You know, it's the old saying, you heard the old saying, you can't stay with you? Well, a lot of people just don't care about that because they don't think there's anything to go to after you leave here. They don't understand that there's another part of that living. Life is just not about living and dying. Living and dying are just parts of life. Right? That once we so-called die, we continue to live in another environment. While we're living, we're not just not the only aspect of our life. So that once I can appreciate that and understand it, this 70, 80, 120 years I have on earth, I have the purpose of becoming a God man or a God woman. Once I understand that's what my purpose is, then I realize that every situation I come in contact with, all the challenges I am confronted with, are opportunities for me to support me in the development and awakening of these different parts of my soul so I can become the God man or God woman I'm destined to be. So, the Shechem is the part of the spirit which will enable me, once I have cultivated it, to manifest what I need when I need it, because I need it. So, that's true juju, that's true magic, that's true spiritual expression. And so the understanding that I have the ability to make real, as long as it's tied within my destiny, which means I need it to unfold my destiny, to fulfill my destiny, then I have the ability to make it happen, powerful tool. So what am I truly losing if I believe that I need money over here to survive, but I know that I have the faculty within me to make to manifest whatever I need to make it happen, whatever I need to happen, money or whatever else in my life? Am I truly losing something? The answer to that question would be no for anyone who's having trouble, you know, working it out.
Right.
You know.
Yeah.
Because if we believe that what is before us, what is presented in our environment, is the end all be all, and I tell you that there's something beyond this that's more important, is a greater. This is merely an opportunity, a tool, a stepping stone for us to get where we need to go. Then I can answer that question a little easier. But once I believe that spirituality is the removal of things from the world, from my life, things are no longer important, then I create this false image, and hence it's a lack of a motor to move people towards spirituality, because the sahu, the animal, is saying, feed me, Seymour, feed me. And if you're not feeding Seymour, the animal's getting upset. And a lot of people just give in to the animal. The lion has to tame the beast. I have to put a leash on that dog. I have to tell the dog to roll over, sit down, be quiet,
right,
whatever it is. I got to control this animal within me so that the God within me can rule. But if I'm just an animal, if I'm allowing the animal to run me around, then God has no place in my life. So, the
second part. You know, you mentioned. Yes.
Let me
tie
this
in. Go ahead, my brother.
So, the second part of the spirit is the part of the spirit through which we're able to access and exercise the divine power of God. the omnipotence of God. And the Ku, part of the spirit, is the part of the spirit through which we're able to access the omniscient part of the spirit, or the all-knowingness of God. Now, fortunately, God being a wonderful God and a merciful God, whatever term you want to use, did not send us to earth without the ability to access divine wisdom or divine power.
Mm-hmm.
Through our ancestors, there have been systems and processes that have been developed to allow us, before we get the keys to the kingdom, so to speak, to get the benefit of the kingdom's glory. So for the cool part, as being the omniscient part, there are various systems or divination systems that our ancestors, God has inspired our ancestors and sages to bring into the world to help guide man in making decisions which are in harmony with our destiny. Unfortunately, the majority of people on earth don't realize that they have a destiny.
Mm-hmm.
Majority of people on earth don't realize that there's a purpose for their being on earth. We're just not here to eat and consume and defecate and have babies or whatever. No, we're here to become God men and God women. And each of us has a path that we need to follow. Each of us has specific lessons that we need to learn. And unfortunately, in many cultures around the world, principally in Western culture, let's focus on Western culture, there's not a concept that there's a destiny path for me. So I don't have a diviner when I'm born to go to God to find out, well, what is ultimately, everyone has the same goal, become a God man or God woman. But each of us has a different path to take to get there. In traditional African societies and many other societies, indigenous people societies, when a person is born, there's systems that allow us to tap into the divine knowledge, divine intelligence, the cool part of our spirit, to find out, well, what is this child's specific destiny path so that the parents and the society can help guide the child toward the fulfillment of their destiny.
Mm-hmm.
Now, on the cool side, on the Shekin side, the power side, there are also our ancestors and sages, et cetera, have also put in place into the divinities, the Nuteru, these aspects of nature, these divine intelligence, these talents, and in our own way, make things happen in our lives that we need to happen. So, those are the samples, if you will, or the strings, if you will, or the linkages is a better term, from us into the divine part of our spirit to show us that, yeah, there is, I have the ability to know what's truth in any given situation. I have the ability, as long as something is in sync with my destiny, to make happen whatever I need to happen in my life. And there's systems in place that my ancestors and sages have cultivated to allow me to fulfill those mandates. So that as I'm evolving toward awakening the divine parts of my being, I'm being nourished by the divine parts of the being that have been cultivated and held by in trust by the enlightened ancestors and the sages that walk amongst us.
When it comes to the Ku part of the spirit, the Ku division of the spirit, is it like we're talking about the oracles and systems of divination, is it like training wheels, for lack of a better example, on a bike, that at some point, though, we take the training wheels off and we ride. And before you know it, we're riding with no hands, popping wheelies and everything else. Is it the same? Would that be a fair example of as man is evolving and ascending through the different divisions, the higher divisions of the spirit, that even at some point as man evolves, even beyond the Ku division, that at some point man himself or herself becomes the oracle. And then as far as the divination systems, then the man has actually cultivated that aspect or portion of their spirit whereby now they can actually intuit the different answers that they need to whatever questions they may have in their life.
Yes, that's exactly what happened. Meaning that as a person awakens that part of their being, they become a vehicle. Again, remember, there's only one consciousness. We have the illusion of separate consciousnesses because this indivisible God that we are is dwelling in these separate spiritual bodies that we call our bodies, our form, plants, whatever. So it gives, we get the illusion of separateness. Tap into the consciousness, which is my true consciousness. Then I become, I have the ability to, my spirit, the vehicle, allows me to understand, to intuit, as you said, what is truth in a given situation. But before I get to that point, then I have systems or tools that I can use to check my intuition. Meaning, thoughts are going to come to all of us. Thoughts come to us all the time. Even when we don't want a thought was going to come. Just try not to have a thought and see what happens. A thought's going to pop in your head. So the problem is not thought. The problem is discerning, is the thought in harmony with truth? Is the thought a part, a link to the divine part of my spirit? Is it in sync with my destiny? There is where the problem becomes. And if I believe, if I have this thought and I act out of a belief or a feeling or a desire, or passion, or whatever, then the odds are I'm going to miss the boat. I'm going to make a mistake. I'm going to cause the problem because I don't know that this is the truth, that this thought is in sync with truth. There is something called truth, and unfortunately, it gets a bad name in Western culture. Politicians destroy it, but that's another issue. But there is this thing called truth. And our ability to know what is true in any given situation is written in or developed or cultivated through the awakening of these parts of our spirit and the use of the tools that our ancestors put in place to allow us to access the part of the spirit, that part of the spirit, the Ku, while we're testing our intuition. Meaning that no one is saying that you shouldn't have intuitive ideas. That's how you get to the point of you have to do something, you have to do it, right? To know truth, you got to live it. To have it, to cultivate intuition, you got to use your intuition. But you got to check it to make sure it's accurate. Because right. So many feelings and thoughts or intuition thoughts that pop in our head are way off base. The world is full of off-base thoughts. Matter of fact, all the problems in the world today are the result of off-base thoughts. And there are a lot of problems. So it's just because man is not checking the truth to make sure this thing is in harmony with truth. If the Ma'at, again, let's go back to Ma'at, before you get to the divine part of the spirit, you got to go through the divine aspect we call Ma'at, which is the principle which says that everything is interdependent and interrelated with everything else. If I do something, if that's just going to affect me, it's going to affect everything else. It's like a web. It's like the web of life for those who saw the Lion King, which is a good children's version of the Camp Kinetic story. So the web of life, if I do something here, it's going to affect everything. It's not. If I imagine a net, right, a web, and I'm at one far corner of the web, and I pull hard on the web. Now, those areas of the web that are closest to me are going to receive the greatest. In the far corner, it may not even move perceptibly, but it's moving imperceptibly because everything is affected by everything else. So when people create things, you know, the problems with pollution and air pollution and toxic pollution and now Wi-Fi pollution, talked about that, et cetera, earlier, all of these things are created without the understanding that there's an that life is interdependent. And if you do something in one area and it's not in sync with truth, it's going to cause problems in other areas down the road. And that's where we are with the, in the Western world today.
Everybody, my special guest today is Orwa Hehi Metura and Comet. I know you're enjoying this information. I know, I mean, this has been a fast hour. It went by so fast. Brother Orwa, I just want to, again, take a moment and just thank you for all of the work that you do to, you know, spread this information, the Kemetic Kemetic spirituality, not just on this show, but, you know, the lectures that you do, you teach, you go, you're here and there, you know, spreading this information and sharing this information. And I know that, you know, just having this work that you do, I mean, you're an author, I mean, of a couple of books. And again, I commend you for the work that you're doing. And, you know, just I just makes me, when I think about all the work that you do, and then I think that you still find time to come on my show and share more and keep sharing more information. I mean, it's just we should all feel very, very blessed. I mean, just to have somebody to come on and take this information and break it down to the point where you go, oh, okay, you know, when it hits you like that, and it's like, oh, okay, because we're trying to live and become and express the manifestation of our divinity. And many of us are coming from many different backgrounds, many different systems, and we have found our way to this Kemetic system. And for many of us, it rings so true, and it's just like it makes us go, that's what I've been looking for. But now that you have somebody, another person to come on and further for you to the point where you can actually even digest it so that you can actually put it into practice and start living it, because as Orwa said, to know truth, to really know truth, you must live it, not just talk about truth or truth, you know, these discussions be some intellectual form of, you know, a way to pass time. Now, we're not just trying to pass time, we're digesting this food so that we can grow from it and live it. And so, again, I thank Brother Orwa for being my guest. We'll be back as soon as possible to will be the next division of the spirit will be the Ba. Is that correct, Brother Orwa?
That's true.
Awesome. Was there anything that did we cover it, Brother Orwa? Was there anything about the Ku or the Shechem that you was left that you wanted to elaborate on a bit more? I know we have gone a couple minutes over, but I don't know. Did you want to wrap it up, or was there anything left to discuss on the Ku and the Shechem?
No, I think we've introduced it again.
Okay.
If people want to get more in-depth information on these, I suggest they, check the Medina Care series out. And they can order those. That's how we, you can give that information. So people can go there, order the books, and, you know, get more insight.
Awesome. Well, Brother Orwa, I want to thank you, my brother, again, for all of the work that you do. Everybody, again, if you're just tuning in and you just caught the last bit of the show, you can go back, because these shows are archived. You can go back and listen to them again and again. You can share them with the people that you know and love, again, because we're all trying to grow. Brother Orwa has been on the show many times, and we've had many different discussions from the Asante model. We've taken an opportunity to look at the Asante model and to see how we can actually gauge from that model information that can help us today. And we've also looked at the 11 laws of God. We've looked at the I Ching, God Knows Best, Kemetic spirituality, and the list goes on. We've got shows with other priests and priestesses of the Osiris Set Society. Hekshem Suheru, Shekameh Neter, comes on several times a year. We've got several shows in the archives with him. Brother Shechem Tepraim Sa'ah is also another person. We've talked with him on Qigong and different aspects of Kemetic spirituality, and the list goes on. Shechem Sa'antakuna Nebu came on last year and talked about the winter solstice. I mean, awesome, awesome show. So I encourage you to just scroll down. Shechem Meta Uneta came on and talked about Qigong. So we've got many, many shows that you can actually learn from, grow with. So again, I want to thank you, Brother Orwa. Thank you so much for your time, my brother. I don't want to keep you any longer than I know you got something else to do. So I want to thank you so much for your time. Thank you for being my guest today, and I look forward to talking to you again.
Okay, thank you. Also, I don't know if you mentioned it, but you know, you also have shows with Shechem or Shechem.
Oh, absolutely. You know what? Absolutely, everybody. You want to definitely make sure that you scroll down. We've got shows with Shechem and Shechem on Stress Free for Life, his book that he did on Stress Free for Life, Meduna Ter Volume 7, Uchat, The Weighing of the Words. You want to check that out. We've done shows with him on Wa'eb, Healing and Enhancing Your Brain Through Kemetic Meditation. So you definitely want to check those shows out. I'm sure I'm missing one or two in there. But those shows are in the archives as well. Thank you, Brother Orwa, for bringing that back to my attention. Definitely scroll down and you can check those shows out as well. So I want to thank you so much, everybody, for tuning in. Thank you for your time. Thank you for listening. My name is Jawanza. Who am I? I'm the one that in giving receives more. Who are you? Take care, everybody. My name is Jawanza. Talk to you soon. Hit up.